أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. We seek the protection of Allah from Shaytan, who has been expelled from God's kingdom of special mercy. We need to be aware of the reasons for his expulsion, because these are the very same characteristics whereby Satan will try to influence us. Number one was Satan's arrogance. He knew what was right, yet he refused to accept and to submit. And secondly was his defiance. He knew what was wrong, yet he deliberately committed that evil. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Before we begin, we seek the help and guidance from God for three reasons. Number one, we believe He is Allah, the absolute perfect being, and therefore the only source of perfection. Any goodness, any guidance that we hope to achieve necessarily must originate from Him and flow down over to us. And secondly, we ask for His help because we believe He is Rahman. Each and every one of us, every moment of our existence is the continuous recipient of His grace, of His love, of His mercy, of His Rahmah. Whereby we come to life, whereby we survive, whereby we thrive and develop toward our perfection. And thirdly, we ask for His help and guidance because we believe He is Rahim. His mercy is unlimited, it's abundant, it's continuously flowing. And especially toward those amongst us who believe in Him, who submit to Him, and who model their lifestyle according to His commands. والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين. And we send our salutations and our greetings and our expression of love and loyalty to the Holy Prophet of Islam, that human being who managed to reach the highest pinnacle of perfection possible for any human being, for two reasons. Number one, his comprehension and understanding of who God is, of how God governs and acts in the universe and directs it towards His perfection, of the different perfect qualities of God. His understanding of these realities was the maximum possible for any human being. And secondly, this comprehension and understanding and faith translated itself into action in such a way that in all aspects and dimensions of his life, be it personal, be it his thinking, be it his feeling, be it his actions, be it in the public arena, in the social or economic or political or any other dimension, the Holy Prophet was the most submissive and humble to the will of God, and hence the most perfect being. And likewise, we send our salutations and greetings on his holy progeny, who were the next best in perfection after him, and especially so on the third holy Imam, whose supreme model of sacrifice and struggle in the way of God became a source of inspiration for all subsequent movements to oppose injustice and to establish justice up until such time before the end of the world, where the global justice and godly values will be established on the earth. Scholars of Islam, elders in Islam, brothers and sisters, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. As we congregate in these nights to commemorate the event of Karbala, we are following the practice established by our holy imams. The seventh holy imam is reported to have said this, and the eighth holy imam has been reported to have said that. كَانَ أَبِي إِذَا دَخَلَ الشَّهْرُ الْمُحَرَّمُ لَا يُرَى ضَاحِكًا. When the month of Muharram would begin, my father, the sixth holy imam and the seventh holy imam, was never seen laughing or smiling. He was in a state of grief and mourning and weeping and lamentation. Not only did they personally practice it, they even promoted it in their own presence. They also promoted it in their absence, and they paid money to request others to hold such gatherings elsewhere. And fourthly, they also educated us the promise of God of the tremendous reward for anyone who establishes and participates in these gatherings of mourning. We were discussing about the significance, the spiritual significance of this practice of mourning and lamentation. We need to remind ourselves, what is it that we could possibly achieve when we engage and participate in these gatherings? The few sets of traditions point out that whoever weeps and laments and mourns, then definitely he would be granted access to paradise. One. Two, once he is in paradise, he will also be enabled to rise to higher levels in the company of the holy souls, the perfect souls. No, he will also be able to achieve some of the highest levels possible. I would like to pause at this type of tradition, which promised tremendous reward of paradise. Notice and remember that if the Imams have promised something, they will not speak anything which will be in conflict with what the Quran says. So we need to study very briefly what the Quran says about paradise, about who qualifies to enter into paradise. Interestingly enough, there are almost more than 100 or so verses in the Quran which talk about paradise and who shall enter therein. Of these verses, more than 34 verses talk about two primary qualities. Nobody lesser than these two qualities will be allowed to enter into paradise. One is Iman and one is Amal Salih. And this theme is repeated frequently and repetitively. In other verses, almost about 16 or so verses that I could count, there's mention of the concept of taqwa as the primary qualifying characteristic for entering into paradise. إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي جَنَّاتٍ وَعُيُونَ. Repeated three times. In Surah Hijr, chapter 15. In Surah Dukhan, chapter 44. And in Surah Dhariyat, chapter 51. إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي جَنَّاتٍ وَالنَّهَرِ. Surely those who have taqwa will be granted access to paradise. A theme which is repeated, mentioned in Surah Qamar, chapter 54, ayah number 54. إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي جَنَّاتٍ وَالنَّعِيمٍ. There's permanent bounties of paradise, repeated twice in Surah Tur, chapter 52, and in Surah Qalam, chapter 68. So point number one, nobody will be granted access to paradise but one who has these two primary conditions, Iman and Amal Salih. In many other verses, these two concepts have been elaborated, briefly or in detail. Point number two that we need to remember is that the Quran tries to remind us that, remember, faith and Iman, don't be misled to believe that it is just something that you express by your tongue. In Surah Hujurat, chapter 59, ayah number 14 and 15. قالت الأعراب آمنا. These Bedouin Arabs, now that Islam has spread all over Arabia, they come and they surrender. They express that they are Muslims. قل لم تؤمنوا. O Prophet, educate them. In Surah Tawbah, the Bedouin Arabs have been characterized as being illiterate and uneducated. Al-A'rabu ashaddu kufran wa nifaqan wa ajdaru alla ya'lamu hudud ma anzalallahu ala rasulih. Because they are distant from the centers of learning, they're more likely, but not always and not all of them, they're more likely not to know the truth of religion. Tell them, true faith is not what you only express by your tongue. Part of the general interests of Islam was that the Sharia allowed into the fold of Islam anyone who expressed it. But that was the beginning step. It was necessary, but it wasn't enough. قُلْ لَمْ تُؤْمِنُوا وَلَمَّا يَدْخُلِ الْإِيمَانُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. Your hearts have not yet accepted the true faith. One. Two, the Quran also tells us, beware. It's not only the Bedouin Arabs, even the Jews and the Christians sometimes have the false impression that if you just say, I'm a believer, that that's enough. In Surah Nisa, chapter 4, ayah number 123. لَيْسَ بِأَمَانِيِّكُمْ وَلَا أَمَانِيِّ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ. Jannah is not so cheap that you can have the false expectation that if I claim to be a Christian or a Jew or a Muslim, that I therefore qualify to enter there. مَنْ يَعْمَلْ سُوءًا يُجْزَ بِهِ. Whosoever commits an evil act. A. You knew it was evil. B. Deliberately and defiantly you disobeyed. C. There's nothing but punishment, even if you're Christian or a Jew or a Muslim. وَلَنْ يَجِدَ وَلَمْ يَجِدَ لَهُ وَمِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ وَلِيًّا وَلَا نَصِيرًا. Don't you ever expect that on that day you shall gain some protection or help from anyone to save you from the evil consequences of your evil act. Two, so the false education of what is true faith has been corrected. One, the false expectation that I can be a Muslim and commit sin and yet go to paradise. Never. مَنْ يَعْمَلْ سُوءًا يُجْزَ بِهِ. There will definitely be a punishment for that. Three, and don't even harbor the false estimation and impression that you can just claim faith and you will be left untested. In Surah Baqarah, chapter 2, ayah number 214. And in Surah Ali Imran, chapter 3, ayah number 142. This theme is repeated. أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ وَلَمَّا يَأْتِكُمْ مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ خَلَوْا مِن قَبْلِكُمْ. Do you harbor this false impression that you can claim to be a Muslim and therefore you shall be granted access to paradise without you being tested? The most severe test, the way those people before you were tested. مَسَّتْهُمُ الْبَأْسَاءُ وَالضَّرَّاءُ. They faced affliction and they faced adversity. And they were shaken up. وَزُلْزِلُوا. And they were shaken up to their bottom. And they doubted. Where is God's victory? In Surah Al-Imran, أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ وَلَمَّا يَعْلَمِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا وَيَعْلَمَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Where are those amongst you who are ready to struggle and sacrifice, and then when they face pain and opposition, they are determined not to flinch. Where are they? They are the ones who can be given access to paradise. So notice the emphasis that paradise is not something that anyone can gain access to just by claiming. There are certain primary minimum qualifications. And hence, if we are told that you participate in mourning and lamentation, and somehow this process does not increase our taqwa, does not increase our iman, does not increase our amal as-salih, in fact, we persist in our evil deeds, there is no guarantee that this will lead us to paradise. In fact, the imams elsewhere themselves have said, لا ينال ولايتنا إلا بالورع. You can never ever get that bond of relationship with the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt, but with one primary qualification, and that is taqwa. God consciousness. Somehow, this event of Karbala should remind me of those supreme perfect qualities which these holy souls displayed. Somehow, number two, because our souls are the reflection of God's creation who is all perfect, and therefore we've been created in such a way that we love perfection, and when we hear perfection and beauty and virtue, we are attracted to, they're the most virtuous. One, when I hear virtue, I get attracted. Two, and when I get attracted, I begin to make the decision and the commitment. Yes, I also want to adopt. That's how, perhaps, lamentation could get us closer to the possibility of qualifying to enter paradise. Allow me to elaborate a little further. We believe God is all perfect. One. Two, the universe He creates, therefore, is perfect. Three, levels of perfection differ. The lowest level of perfection is this physical world. Four, there are higher levels of perfection after this physical world. Five, when God wants to manifest Himself, His perfection, His mercy, His love, His generosity, the nature of the physical world does not allow, does not have the capacity to take more than what it is already doing. You can only take from the ocean, which is unlimited, as much as your receptacle's capacity can take in. The potential and the capacity for the physical world to receive from the unlimited grace of God is as much as we see here. But that's not limited. There is more grace and mercy. That will be in another world. In order to reach there, perfection is a requirement. Purification is a requirement. الَّذِينَ تَتَوَفَّاهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ Surah Nahl chapter 16, ayah 32. طيبين. They are طيب. In Ziyarat al-Warith we say طيبتم. You are also طيب. طيب in your A's, actions. طيب and pure and good in your belief. طيب, pure and good in your character. الَّذِينَ تَتَوَفَّاهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ طَيِّبِينَ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ طِبْتُمْ. Oh, you are nothing but good and pure. So enter the pure realm of paradise. Paradise, the reflection of God's perfection, the reflection of God's purity, the reflection of God's peace and tranquility. سَلَامٌ قَوْلًا مِّن رَبِّ الرَّحِيمِ. That merciful Lord, whose mercy has no limitation, will express the full force of His peace. Peace at the physical level, no disease, no defect. Peace at the emotional level, no enmity, no jealousy, no hatred. وَنَزَعْنَا مَا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ وَنَزَعْنَا مَا فِي صُدُورِهِمْ مِنْ غِلٍّ. In the Qiyamah, in the paradise, all sorts of hatred, of enmity, of jealousy, of dislike for each other will be removed from the hearts. They'll be pure. إِخْوَانًا عَلَى سُرُرٍ مُتَقَابِلِينَ. They shall be brothers to each other. I like for you what I like for myself. No, not only are you a brother to me, I like for you more than what I like for myself. That level of purity in the heart. Salam at the level of the mind. All the thoughts are pure. تحيتهم فيها سلام ودعواهم سبحانك وبحمدك. In Jannah, people only speak the praise of the Lord. Even if they ask for food or drink or any other pleasure or any other bounty, they don't ask for it. They praise God. And God's perfection manifests itself in the form of the food and the drink. Notice the purity, the perfection and the purification, which is wholesome, which is comprehensive, which is thorough. Do you ever think, therefore, anyone would qualify to enter that realm and phase of pure, perfect existence without having purified himself? Never ever. question. How do we achieve that level of perfection and purification? To be able to elevate ourselves so high, so that we increase our capacity, so that God's mercy, which is unlimited, clearly flows. There's no limitation on that side. لا يظلمون النقيرة لا يظلمون فتيلة. There's not even an iota of injustice in God's mercy. If you deserve, it flows. Question, how do I increase my capacity? Answer, I need to identify the pure souls. I need to remember the purity. I need to develop the inclination and love. And therefore I need to develop the commitment and change myself. And what stronger, what more powerful bond that can attract me to these holy souls other than through the process of weeping, lamentation. Powerful. However, it needs to be conducted in a conscious manner. Allow me to elaborate further. Paradise, the way it's described in the Quran, those qualified to enter whose faith is strong. For example, in Surah Anfal, chapter 8, ayah number 2 and 3. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. Three spiritual qualities. Two behavioral characteristics. الَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ حَقَّ. These are the true believers. I want to know for myself internally, by sitting through this process of lamentation and weeping, have I developed the qualities which can qualify me to enter paradise? Here are five characteristics I should think about. Whenever I remember God, does my heart humble itself? Does my heart tremble? Do I feel and experience the true, unlimited majesty of my Lord in such a way that I'm overwhelmed with His perfection, that I humble myself spontaneously? Do I have that degree of faith or no? One, two. When I read His signs which manifest and express His power, His majesty, His love, His wisdom, His generosity, His munificence, His perfection in all its diversity. Does that increase my faith in Him? And three, in all affairs of my life, do I work as if I'm independent? I decide for myself what I want to do, when I want to do, and how do I want to do? Or no, do I have tawakkul? Tawakkul meaning, oh Lord, I know You're all powerful. I've got no power. Two, I know You know more than I do. You inspire me to make the right choices. Three, I know You love me more than I can love myself. I turn to You for help. Don't abandon me. That's the spirit of tawakkul. And am I so close to Him? And I always remember His multiple bounties, that I'm in constant remembrance of Him. الَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ. They're in constant communication with their Lord. وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. Do I also recognize that whatever I have earned and whatever I have achieved, do you think it's my effort that's bringing it about? Or it's my effort with the blessing of the Lord. If it's with the blessing of the Lord, it's a gift. If it's a gift, I need to be grateful. If I have to be grateful, I need to share with those who don't have it. Do I have the spirit of care and concern and compassion to be able to want to share? Whatever I have. I have treasures of wealth? No, I'm not poor. Do I have talents and abilities? No, I don't even have treasures of wealth. No, I have talents and abilities. I have time. Can I give my presence to someone and help with whatever God has given me? Look at the other verses in the Quran, which again manifest the different qualities of true faith and amal salih. The fact that I have to practice sabr, for example. That's a manifestation of true faith in the Lord. There are several verses in the Quran which say, Jannah is for those who do practice sabr. For example, in Surah Ra'd, chapter 13, ayah number 24, Allah says, Jazakhum Rabbuhum فَنِعْمَ عُقْبَ الدَّارِ بِمَا صَبَرُوا. The heaven is been given to those individuals because there was one prominent characteristic in their whole life, and they had sabr. They were firm, and they were determined, and they were persistent. Be it against their own desires, be it against afflictions, be it in times of adversity, be it even at times when they know what is the law of God and they're a bit lazy, they discipline themselves with sabr and they practice. And therefore they achieve that perfection. I have to judge myself. Does the process of lamentation and mourning increase sabr in me or not? Tawakkul. Istiqama. Alladhina qalu rabbuna Allah. Chapter 41, ayah number 30. ثم استقاموا تتنزل عليهم الملائكة ألا تخافوا ولا تحزنوا وأبشروا بالجنة. When I am faced with adversity, do I begin to doubt? Do I begin to waver? Do I begin to flinch? Or no, I'm firm. Yes, there is a God. Yes, I know His law. I'm going to do all my best to ensure that I implement that. Faith manifesting itself in sabr, in tawakkul, in istiqama, in salah, in zakat, in jihad, in hijrah, alladhina amanu wa hajaru wa jahadu fi sabilillah, ulaika yarjuna rahmatallah wallahu ghafurun rahim. Surah Baqarah. Those people who have faith, that's not enough. Actions are needed. Their action is, if necessary, and the environment is evil, there is no way you can change that environment, do you make the hijrah? Imam Hussein did that from Medina to Mecca, and from Mecca onwards. No! Not only do you make hijrah, if necessary you strive and you struggle, and if necessary you sacrifice in the way of God. These are the ones who have truly expanded themselves. They've grown, they've perfected themselves, they've reached a point where now God's unlimited mercy can flow. أُولَٰئِكَ يَرْجُونَ رَحْمَةَ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Let's pray to Allah to give us a tawfiq to be able to appreciate that this lamentation and weeping should remind us of the strong iman and amal salih and taqwa of these holy souls. And we should develop an inclination and an intensity of devotion and commitment towards it. Assalamu alayk, ya Aba Abdullah. Our salutations and greetings on you, O Hussein, son of Ali, that supreme model of sacrifice and struggle. Wa ala al-arwah allati hallat bifina'ik, and on the holy souls who came and sacrificed themselves along with you. وعلى أولادك وأصحابك ورحمة الله وبركاته.